Welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer. Delighted to have you with us again. Much like Palace, we hope to start the season strongly, but who knows? Joining me today, we have Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Good, thanks, mate. You?
Yeah, well, thank you, buddy. Well, thank you. And showing his Palace colours for the first time ever, Ned Rock. Delighted to see you actually do support the Palace. Wonderful.
I mean, that's a little bit rich coming from yourself there, Rob, who has not watched a game live in about 4 years, I believe. Nickname Highlight Seltzer. But yes, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Look, mate, we've been in this Premier League for what, 11 years now, so it's 11 years since I've watched a live game. Thank you very
My
much.
apologies.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. And Marky Mark up in, for once, sunny, warm Queensland, it appears, in a t-shirt.
Mate, spring has sprung. We've put our flannels and hoodies away for the next 11 months. And yeah, loving it. I'm actually sporting a shirt tonight. Not as flash as Ned's. Ned's obviously at the end of his wash cycle there and got his Palace kit on because his referee shirt must be dirty, due for a wash.
Yeah, well, Ned does. He got a whole wardrobe of just referee shirts. He opens the
That's it.
wardrobe with like
Yeah, you gotta
50
have the black one, the sort of that sort of nice little blue one, the yellow, the purple, all those, all for all the different sort of clash combinations. Very important.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, we said we're going to do this more regularly. We haven't. So well done. Well done, us. So a cracking, that was a cracking start. So transfer window's been and gone. So we'll start there. How
Yay.
do we feel about the transfer window? Mark, let's come to you first, mate. Do you think the business was good? Do you think we did enough? Are you happy with what we brought in?
Oh, like every supporter, mate, never happy. It was a bit of a funny one. I think it was probably more good business rather than a result that might transfer onto the pitch, if that makes sense. We're all screaming out for a striker, possibly a replacement for Jimmy Mack, but we seem to have got that in Lerma. I didn't really understand the keeper bit, which is probably, more potentially good business. Rob Holding, £1 million, that's a free hit, probably just erring on the side of more just business, or from a good business point of view, from the for the club's coffers and what we really needed. No, nothing in the way of left back to give Mitchell a bit of competition. Obviously, we probably need a right back just to cover Kleinie, because obviously with Ward we've got the best right back in the comp. So that I understand why that wasn't addressed, but the others, I don't know. It was a bit funny to me. France are potentially good. We don't know. He's busy holed up in the Wickham suite with Ferguson, and they've had a lease over for a couple of summer parties lately. So right old party going on in there. Hughes wrestling himself away, so it's good to see him in the weekend. But it was a funny one, mate. I mean, yeah, what is enough? I still think we're a bit threadbare. I don't think we've got a lot of depth or quality of depth in our squad given that window. But we shall see. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think lots of sporting agencies rated as sort of a C or a C minus for the window as a whole, and that's probably roughly how I feel about it.
You show me a Palace fan that says they know a lot about France, I show you a liar. That's for sure, because no one has a clue. Dale, you're looking excited to talk about this, so let's talk about it. How do you feel the window went?
Yeah, we're all going to end up saying the same thing. All of our business was good business, but was it necessarily the right business? That's the question. I mean, Holding, sorry, you're crazy not to do that deal. You tell me where you're getting someone who's got 159 Premier League appearances for 1.5 million. Like, it just doesn't happen. Yeah, Francia, we don't know anything about him. As we said, like, he obviously put his hip out whilst doing his limbo, whatever it was, in the introduction video. So, excellent. Henderson, I don't know if I want to bore everyone in my... I just think it's the most bizarre bit of work. And as a mate of mine said, as a Palace fan, if the whole goal behind that is to get yourself a goalkeeper, I think it was one of my mates, it might be Nunez, I don't know. If the whole idea is to get a goalkeeper to be at the club for a long time, then just sort out Johnson. And that, if he's homesick, he's homesick. But, I mean, like, sort it out. If he can't be that homesick, we didn't shift him. So... And I struggle to understand how people can be homesick when they live in England. I mean, it is 20 minutes for everywhere. I'm ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, look, a left back would have been good. A right back would have been good, but Holding can do that. The striker thing, I think the issue of getting a striker is quite simple. You either luck out and you find somebody for however much, who randomly goes and scores you 15, 20 goals, and then won't be with you next season, or you effectively do what we're going to try and do, which is try and get 15 or 20 goals out of a combination of Edouard, Mateta and Ayew, with Elise and Eze chipping in. So I think C minus is a bit harsh. I mean, that to me is a publication. I think that was Fox Sports. You probably saw that on Marky.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. That just smacks of someone who looks at big names, big money, and goes, well, they haven't done any of that, therefore it's rubbish, when it's not rubbish. I would argue that, and they gave Chelsea an A, I would argue that Chelsea was a C minus, because suddenly you've got 16 new players you're trying to bed in, and that's not actually good for you. So, and there appears to be no coherent policy. We won't take James Maddison because he's 26, not under 25. Well, that's stupid. So I'd probably say ours was okay without being spectacular. Has it shifted the needle in terms of where we're going to finish? Probably marginally upwards with Lerma, but that's about it.
Spoken like a real true blue Aussie there, Dale. Now that's 20 minutes from anywhere. You come over here, it's fucking massive. Oh,
but it's true, though. It's true. I mean, if Sam Johnson is... Where's... I'm going to Google it. Where's he from? Someone tell me.
Wilf was homesick in Manchester, wasn't he? He'd come back down to London every...
Grow up.
Get that spoon of cement in your knob. Go on.
He's from Preston. Now, I've done that trip. I've gone from Croydon to Preston. It took me like 3 hours. That is okay. You'll be fine, mate. Do you know what? You're paid a mozza. You can fly there in 45 minutes. It's okay. Anyway, carry on.
I do like the fact that just before we started recording, Dale was talking about player well-being. and it's now gone directly from that to you'll be fine, harden up. So,
mate, as long as his trusted circle as long as he's figured out who his trusted circle is and has a healthy relationship with them and realizes what an unhealthy relationship is, he'll be fine. Just employ me. I'll make him less homesick.
Hey, Sam, what did Councillor Cordy say to you? He's just done this fucking cup of cement. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this.
Yeah. And it's dried as well. I can't even...
Anyway, carry on.
You got any different thoughts, Ned?
Oh, I think it's just, as has been said already, I think the signings we did make were very good business. We didn't necessarily strengthen in the areas that we might have desperately wanted to, but at the same time, if you look at the players that other teams around us were signing in those areas, there was no one there that sort of jumps out as a really exciting one that we've potentially missed out on. The club has clearly got themselves a fairly clear set of criteria as to what is required from a signing. They need to fit an age profile, they need to, or a price profile, which is, quite nice. It's, we've gone away from the days of throwing Liverpool 30 million for a Sacco with a shit haircut or a Benteke. And we're sort of now just looking at, okay, if we are going to pay big money, well, is there going to be a good bit of sell on value? Which is obviously what they're hoping for with the Henderson signing. You know, that's obviously our bigger one. You know, we did need an extra goalkeeper. I mean, he's was as good a goalkeeper as was available on the market. So, I mean, in a reasonable price range. So, you know, that'll add a bit of competition to Johnston. He's 5 years younger than Johnston as well, I think. So either he becomes a long-term number one, or, you know, hopefully when he gets his, if he gets his opportunity, performs, and you make a bit of profit off it, off him as a young English goalkeeper. So either way, you know, probably sitting there looking at that going, well, if he plays all right, based in London, English, we'll just let Chelsea come sniffing and give us, you know, 45 times what he's worth in 18 months time. And that's a fantastic deal. Francois, obviously, you know, no one knows what he's like, but, you know, there were some bigger clubs than us who were after him. You know, the descriptions sound like someone who's a little bit exciting, you know, let's get that Brazilian flair. You know, that sounds like a, you know, the sort of players that we've had, or, you know, that have thrived at Palace are those ones that, you know, maybe aren't quite the finished product, but they're exciting. They can run at players. They can do those sorts of things. If that's what he can do, fantastic. If it's not, well, we didn't spend a load of money on him. So that's not the end of the world.
Also, don't forget, Ned, he has got a clause in his contract that he'll get paid a silly amount of money if he gets nominated for the Ballon d'Or.
That's very important. A very important important thing to have. When he does fire us to the Premier League title, followed by the Champions League title the year after, I'm sure that our sponsorship money will cover that additional clause. So we'll be all good. Obviously, Lerma's been fantastic. So yeah, I think the business we've done is great. I think the club was looking for, you know, in those areas that we wanted at fullback. You know, fullback, I think we probably could have found someone. Up front, you know, you're looking at some of the players and some of the money that's being bandied about for some bang average footballers. You know, we've already got bang average footballers. We don't need to pay for any more. And as we all said, you know, Mateta and Edouard are clearly going to come good. Fantastic players. No, none of us ever doubted them. And they're obviously repaying that throughout the season.
I will say, just before Celts jumps back in, on the fullback thing, Max Aarons, I'm just shocked he went for the price he did. Like, something must have gone on there. Every time Norwich have come up, he's been their standout player. He's just looked really good. I thought he would go for more than 8 million. Did he go for in the end?
7, I think it was, wasn't it?
To me, that seems a no-brainer. Can play right back and left back. And is really good. But I think we nailed our masts to the wall there by making Joel Ward captain. We're not going to go down to Lucas scenario again. He wasn't going to get dropped. And Mitchell was obviously the first choice left back. So is he going to bring someone in to sit on the bench? Probably not. So not someone that caliber, sorry, to sit on the bench.
The Max Aaron one is probably, I agree with most of what's said, like, but that Max Aaron one was the one that you look around the teams around us that have made signings. You think that's a strange one, why we weren't interested. Look, we don't know if we were in there or not, right? But we didn't seem to be mentioned. I've got the two concerns I have is one, that we've put all our eggs in the very large basket of Edouard, Mateta and Ayew up front, which is, well, the less said about that, the better. And if one of them gets injured, we're even worse. Like, Gordon's gone off on loan to Cambridge, so he can't even come in. Like, we've, you know, Rakitić can't go on loan now because we didn't bring anyone in. So I think he's a big loser in all of this. So even just to bring someone in, like, we didn't use either of our loan spaces. Why couldn't, if we'd brought someone in on loan that could then allow Rakitić to go out on loan, I think that would have been worthwhile doing. Because now Rakitić is going to just get minutes here and there, which is going to obviously, you know, stunt his growth. And I would have liked us to see kind of us prepare a little bit for what's obviously going to happen next season in the summer, that Elise is going to go, and you'd assume Eze probably is too, I would say, because he'll go into his last year of his contract, and Elise has got the release clause that will be triggered, you'd assume, next year. That's why he signed the contract. So we're going to have to replace both of them and then also sign strikers that we're going to need as well. So there's a lot of work to do next year. It seems like we've just kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit this summer. But hey.
But they're all going to stay once we've got Champions League football, with France winning the Ballon d'Or. So
That's true.
But we mock on that. But if we finish top 10, which I'm sure we'll speak about in the months to come, if we finish top 10 like we did last year, then, and let's assume the top seven of the top seven, the big seven of the top seven, depending on what happens, like there's all this talk about Man City were going to make a bid for Eze, and they didn't. They took other targets, and I wonder if there was, how much of that was real, how much of that was just papers and people trying to put two and two together. Like, if, for example, Brentford finish ninth, Brighton finish eighth, like he wants to go to a bigger club and it's not a big boy, you're not going to go. Let's not forget, we've been here for 10 years of wealth, right? We don't have to sell them. And this is what I would like to see from the club with someone like Eze. We don't have to sell. And if we are going to sell, we don't get our pants pulled down. We do what Brighton do. We do what some of these other clubs do, and we sell for top dollar, because that's what's going to help us.
Yeah, absolutely. But if he's going into his last year of contract, then we're not going to let him run that down, because when we had 10 years of Wilf, our whole team was Wilf.
Yeah. No, we're not going to let him run it down. But that's where you like to see, think the club are continually talking to him. This is a great time to talk to him. England squad started the season stronger. Elise is coming back. If in 5 games' time we're still knocking around 7th, hey, Ebs, come on, mate. Get that signed. We'll put an £80 million release clause in there, but get it signed, because, mate, you're going to get something out of this as well. That's how these things kind of work. So I think, yeah, it's like, I'll only panic about him leaving if he gets to Christmas and he hasn't signed. That's when I'll start to panic. But now, right now, I'm happy.
Mm, yeah, fair enough. But then you also got, the Doucouré rumours to Liverpool were very strong. So that, I mean, that's going to be floating around next year. Then you got Gaye and Anderson as well. They were.
Doucouré is not good enough for Liverpool. I don't mean that in a horrible way. He's not good enough for what Klopp wants to do and what Klopp's got that team doing. He's not good enough. He's a great player for us. He's not good enough. Not good enough for Liverpool.
I'd agree with that.
Whether he is or not, though, it's irrelevant for us to decide if they want to.
Oh, yeah.
$70 million bails there. Well, we'll bank the $70 million and we'll go out and spend another 20 on new Doucouré from wherever we roped them in from last time.
Yeah, I agree. I just wonder if, again, was that people playing the game, using that name Doucouré to get something for themselves elsewhere. I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
Time will tell. We don't have to worry about that for another, 10 months to when all that fun and games start again.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, it's not going to happen in January. All right, so we've started the season 4 games in, 2 wins, a draw and a defeat, and a quite unlucky defeat at the hands of Arsenal there. Let's start with you, Ned. So considering the strength, the squad that we've put out, is clearly it's the same team every single week, and we're missing a couple of key players in there, and that one really, namely Elise, and obviously we've lost Wilf as well. You've been surprised by the start? Were you expecting this type of football?
Of course we were. We got Roy Hodgson at the helm.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that once we get back around to you, Rob, like all of the apologies for the last time he was here will start flowing, and you'll be right on board the Roy Hodgson bandwagon.
I believe that humble pie was eaten towards the back end of last season when I said I hold my hands up and be like, didn't see this coming.
We have to try for all of the. It has to be sort of one for every single podcast that you sort of dissed him. So we've got 2 seasons worth of groveling.
There's more chance of me growing an afro than that happening.
I've got full access to the Adobe Creative Cloud through work. An afro on your head has already been done once. I can do a much better job again this time. So that's not a problem, Rob. We can arrange that. But no, look, I think start of the season we've sort of picked up almost where we left off a little bit. There's been some good football. First halves obviously still just a bit of an issue, but I mean clearly the game plan is going 0-0 at the break, run over in the second half. So far that's working reasonably well against the teams that you would hope that it would work against. But it's Roy Hodgson in a nutshell. You beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and you don't necessarily always get those results against the higher teams. I think looking at the squad, I mean, Eze this year, we knew he was good. He was already good last year, but the first few games this year without Wilf, where he's had to be the main man to step up, wowee. He can play. He's a proper footballer. And if he just keeps going in that trajectory, I think we'll all be on the Dale Courty bandwagon of Wilf Hu quite quickly.
Pioneer. I was a pioneer.
I mean, to be fair, Wilf was also pretty handy, but Eze just seems to already have the a lot more of the sort of end product than Wilf did at that sort of age. So you sort of look at where he can get to, and we're playing this sort of wonderful football, and that's before Elise even comes back into the squad. I mean, you look at Mateta comes on the weekend and suddenly turns into prime Cristiano Ronaldo, assists off his back and little back heel flicks through to Odson Edouard, who worked out how to put the ball in the back of the net and get onto the end of a couple of things that there's no chance he was getting on the end of, 6 months ago. Clearly the confidence is up at the moment. Fantastic start. Long may it continue.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more about Odson Edouard. I mean, in a way, the international breaks come at the worst possible time, like for someone like him, who was flying, absolutely flying. Marky Mark, how about you?
The season so far certainly had some green shoots to admire and latch onto. I feel that we've pretty much picked up where we left off at the end of last season. Obviously, Roy coming in for the last 10-odd games there, and we saw a bit of a rejuvenation from the squad and the younger players like Eze. And I think, it's sort of his real big chance to shine this season. Wilf's gone, which, just had to happen. I think maybe a little bit like Spurs with Kane going, it was like, just good to get it done and just move on and get all the wheels in motion post-fact, which we seem to be doing with aplomb. With Elise had to come back in and Francis, who seems like it could be exciting. We get everyone fit and healthy and on the pitch are certainly some good signs. So in the interim, without that being the case yet, we're looking good. It's certainly encouraging. I think we were 12th there for a little while, so it was a nice familiarity to be in for a wee bit. And I think we got bumped up to 11th, and I think now for the international break, we're off to Europe, aren't we? In 8th or something, whatever it is, the last conference spot. So, never expected to beat Arsenal. Probably done it a bit. And that was a funny old game. I think the season so far, mate, is certainly encouraging.
Big man, down south.
Yeah, there's something just on Mark's point about Kane and a bit with Zaha. I don't know if any of you have heard of something called the Ewing theory. And it's sort of revolved around Patrick Ewing, basketballer, and very, very good basketballer, absolutely superb. But the theory revolved around, when you've got the star player who takes all the media light and does this and that and all the fan interest, but ultimately your team never really sort of achieves what it could achieve. And then that person leaves and you go on and you be better because of some of your parts, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not saying that Wilf never led us to anything, because obviously we got promoted whilst he was there. And depending on and how you see football being played, he single-handedly kept us in the Premier League. The other 10 players and the team did nothing. But I think the point remains that the star player, the star man has left, and we haven't seen any drop off in performance. And it wasn't that long ago that everyone used to say Palace don't win without Wilfred Zaha, so therefore they will get relegated if he leaves, and we're making a mockery of that at the moment. It's a tough one for me. I feel that some of the football hasn't been great. I do feel that having watched Celts, having watched every game, you know, I think case in point, the first half against Wolves was atrocious. That was a real tough watch, and I think we were really lucky to go in half time 0-0. Arsenal, I mean, what just disappointed me about Arsenal was, I don't mind if someone said to me at 5:15, wherever it was it started, that you'd lose 1-0 to Arsenal, I'd say, yep, take it, thank you, see you later. Disappointing thing is they went down to 10, we didn't really like put them under massive amounts of pressure. And I get it, they're Arsenal, they're good, but again, still would have liked to see a little bit more from us. But ultimately, I'm not going to grumble at 7 points from 4 games and 7th in the league. It's a sad way to still look at it 11 years on, but that's 7 points closer to safety, right? And that has to be concern number one, making sure you stay in the league and stay in the league as quickly as possible so then you can go and do other stuff. Roy has definitely reverted a little bit more to type than he did when he came back. But that's to be expected. It's not a free hit anymore. It's about setting the club up to be as successful as possible this season. So ultimately, I'm not going to complain about it. I think it's been a good start. And if we pick up 7 points every 4 games, that's what, 60-something points. And we definitely be on a European adventure. Have some of that.
Yeah, I do. Look, I mean, well, Stone the Crows, I'm going to be the Roy defender here. I don't think he has reverted to type a little bit. I think he's just dealing with what he's got at the moment. Last year, he had Eze, he had Elise, he had Wilf before he got injured. So as you said, he had 10 games against teams that were struggling down at the bottom of the table. So he just let them run riot. This year, at the moment, he's only got Eze. And every club knows we've only got Eze, but he's just that damn good that he can
do stuff. He's diverted type.
I still think we're playing better football when we had like Wilf. It wasn't, we're trying to get the ball to Jordan Ayew. Fortunately, we're trying to also not get the ball to Jeffrey Schlupp, which is a very separate conversation at the moment. But we're getting the ball to Ayew. We're getting that, like, Edouard is coming out and scoring goals. So I think it's all right. You know, I'm assuming we've all seen that, heard that ridiculous stat. What, we haven't scored in 260 first half of games or something ridiculous since.
Oh, been... no, was it like 17 of 239 or something we scored in the first half? It was a ridiculous stat.
Yeah, we've played like just like 260 games that we haven't scored in the first half in since we've been back in the Premier League or something stupid.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, so it's about 3/4 of the games we actually haven't bothered. You might as well do what I do and just watch the highlights of the second half, which is just all I do. But yeah, some of the football's been all right. I agreed though, like that first half of Wolves was awful. I didn't think the first half was Brentford was particularly good either, to be honest. Like, not much cutting edge up front. But you know, Edouard's got three and four now in the league, so. Can't argue with that too much. But we shall see. We'll complain about that. We'll complain about Edouard next time when he hasn't started scoring. We stop scoring.
Yes. Save it for when you're not banging him in.
Exactly.
Rob, are you suggesting that the members of this particular illustrious podcast panel may occasionally flip-flop in their opinions of players based purely on 3 or 4 games? Because that seems a scandalous allegation.
I would never... ever make such an allegation, Ned. Good. Don't be.
Yeah, so, just clarifying. Okay, we're all good.
Just to confirm, just a few lovely points. Odds and Edouard is currently joint 4th for most goals this season. Jordan Ayew, joint 5th. We've made the second most tackles. I mean, I could just go on finding some amazing stats. It's absolutely glorious. joint seventh for wins.
Third most shots on goal, and I think third most shots on target or something as well.
Glorious. Anyway, thank you.
Most fouls won, Jordan Ayew, top of that list.
Yeah, again. Just a Garnet and Pele.
Open goals missed. That's right, open goals.
Award, I mean, you know, the stats, they just continue.
Sam Johnston joint third for most clean sheets.
The stat show, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by...
Yeah, I feel like this is probably not the most entertaining listening that we've ever
presented. No, anyway, carry on.
This is coming from the same podcast that live commentated Bocce. So, I mean...
That was the podcast's highlight.
Right? Oh, sorry,
That is the greatest moment in podcast history, was Mark Werner destroying the field at Bocce.
And then get knocked out in the group stage. Ridiculous.
Shambles. Absolute disgrace.
Before we open up that old wound again and we have to sit here for 4 hours while Mark cries into his beer and tells us about it again. Look, we're four games in, so I think it's time for some overreactions. We're going to start with Dale, who's very keen on these overreactions. And Dale, right? So, everyone over three. Everyone go for three overreactions. All right. Based on the first week. So you go first, Dale. What's your three overreactions for the season?
So I did put some in the chat, but I think we've already discussed those in the chat. People already mocked me, so I've got some more. The first one's not so much an overreaction. It may well be true. Edo Echeze is the best number 10 in the league.
Obviously.
Everyone can go to hell about James Maddison. Eze is better.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
He hasn't played for us yet, but Rob Holding is definitely the signing of the season. Like, 100% he's the signing of the season. And the one that I did put in the chat, which I'm going to stick to, I think is a massive overreaction, but hey, Odson Edouard is going to get 20 plus goals.
Righto, mate.
So tell me where I'm wrong, because I don't think I'm wrong of any of that.
Well, I mean, Jefferson Lerma was free.
Yeah.
But we knew how good Jefferson Lerma was. He was Bournemouth player of the season last year. He's obviously quality. We've absolutely stolen Rob Holding.
Yeah. But we've absolutely stolen a quality player in Jefferson.
We haven't. He was out of contract. It was fine. It was easy.
Rob, you're misunderstanding how this segment works. These are overreactions.
Apparently so.
You can take your logic and you can stuff it where the sun don't shine.
Thank you.
And you can come up with some outrageous claims of your own. This is your mind where I can't even debate your just utter shite about the referees or whatever it is you'd like to say.
Oh, mate, don't get me going, because my God, don't wind me up and go. We ain't got time for that. They've been awful. Go on, Ned, you do yours.
I was hoping to throw to you so I could buy myself more time. All right, overreactions. What have we got? Well, Mateta is back, quite literally, as in he's just putting footballs off his back for players to score goals from. So we'll take that as a wonderful sort of symbolic gesture that he has learnt how to play football. Hat-trick against the might of Plymouth, two assists in the Premier League. I mean, clearly he is, you know, if Edouard doesn't get 20, well, obviously JP Mateta will clearly do that. There ain't no striker better than Jean-Philippe Mateta. Is a
appointment.
Coming on from that, I would suggest that obviously Europe is a certainty this year. I'll be honest, if it's not Champions League, I'll be surprised. But I guess Europa League will do. We're probably more likely to win that one the following year than the Champions League. So, I mean, if we want to set ourselves up for that European trophy, we should probably be a bit more realistic and aim for that fifth to sixth instead of top four. Finally, Eze Elise as a combination are going to make that Wilf Balassi combination from back in the day look like Calvin Andrew and Aaron Wilbraham. The two just they are going to tear the Premier League to shreds. And that's without even bothering to see Eliseo this year. I mean, I've seen his threads, I've seen his wonderful social media pictures. He's got himself some new bit of dentistry. I mean, the guy is clearly going to be the best thing since sliced bread, or Eberechi Eze, whichever one you think is better. Done.
Very good. Mark, you've had your time to think.
Yeah, I reckon Mick might get a bit of that sliced bread stuck in his new grill, having a look at it. Looks a fucking god-awful thing to try and eat food with. Probably cost him, I don't know, 500 grand or something stupid like that. What a fucking idiot, mate. Anyway, he'd be young and stupid and extremely wealthy. Be nice. Overreaction.
Was that overreaction number one?
Yeah. That was my first one. I wasn't really sure what Dale meant by this when he put it in the thread, so I've got nothing but having a bit of a think. My first overreaction would be from the Plymouth fans, I think at half time or early doors, chanting Premier League, you're having a laugh, to the 1,700 or 1,300 Palace supporters that went up there to Plymouth and then suitably got done by a beautiful JPM Hattie to round it out 4-2. So they went early. Second overreaction, probably Jeff Schlupp and his hair. I just clocked that in a decent way for the first time.
Argue he's the old Samson Delilah. Cut his hair, powers have gone. Stroke playing massively out of position.
I mean, depending on who you speak to, that might argue the power was never there. but it's funny you mention that, Dale, because looking at you here now, I don't know if there's a direct correlation between the reduction in Jeffrey Schlupp's hair and the propagation of your hair. Looking good.
Let's not talk about mine. It needs to be redone. It's an absolute mess anyway.
Oh, okay. Looks apart, mate. If you want the nod from up north, you got it. And my final overreaction, not Palace related, but it's football related, and this is a football podcast, on whoever the Boffins are or Czech writers here for Football Australia, or it's probably not even that, it's probably some sort of Australian governmental bureaucratic wankers that want to make a fucking statue for the Matildas for coming fourth in the World Cup. Fucking serious? Like, come on, man. Well, I mean, they did well. They had a crack. Yay, ranked 10th, finished 4th, good tournament, all that. But a statue, please. Come on, man. Statues are for winners, not girls that, or people that just had a go. They're just not. I'm sorry. So that's a massive overreaction. Hey, quickly, I don't know if we're gonna get in the Women's World Cup at all. We're going to leave that as yesterday's news.
Oh, we can have a brief mention, I reckon, at the end. Throw it in now, Mark. Well, all we're holding off is Rob's overreactions. No one wants to hear them anyway. So whatever you've got,
I've got one good one. I've got one really good one. I'm proud of. I've literally just.
Let's come back to it. I want to hear Rob's overreaction.
First overreaction is Tyreek Mitchell is going to become a marauding fullback with 10 plus goal contributions this season. He should be on two. You got the one on the weekend, and we get Sheffield United. If Edouard wasn't offside, he'd be on two already. So 2 in 4.
He wasn't offside, but he was. It doesn't count anyway. Carry on.
Exactly. we are going to concede from open play. The only team that are going to concede less goals from open play are the eventual champions. We're going to concede loads from set pieces because we're crap. But from open play, we're only going to concede. The only team can see less than us are going to be the champion, probably Man City, because of how good we are. And the other one's not Palace related, but Eddie Howe will be sacked by December. Laters.
Yeah. Fair play.
I think you're being a bit conservative saying December. I think he might go over 4.
I think we've got him Champions League football, so they're going to give him a bit, but I think that December. So long.
Well, if push comes to shove, he might be in your counselling office well before December then, Dale.
He'd be right, mate.
Him and Sam Johnson.
He's got Saudi money. He'll be right.
I'm sure he will. Do we have any, just off the bat, I didn't hear it, Saudis come sniff around any of our players?
Any what, sir?
Saudis come sniffing around any of our players at all? I didn't read or hear about it.
No.
Just
would they?
Decided to go with the logical move of Turkey instead.
Of course.
Yeah. Where he almost didn't make it out into the Champions League. I don't know if you saw how they scraped through a deflected late winner.
I did also see him trip over a football and put it out and get laughed at by his teammates.
I saw that as well, yeah.
Glad he's gone.
Got rid at the right time. Look at that.
Oh, Wilf. He can come back.
Well, he was back at the weekend.
There we go.
And he was seen. His Lamborghini was seen around Selhurst Park. And apparently he didn't look happy. There's a surprise. Anyway.
Taking a leaf out of Jordan Nye's book.
Oh.
There's a man that never looked happy.
There's a man who is actually a very gifted footballer who we have not probably given enough respect to.
Well, he's got plenty on this show, so...
well, yeah.
Hail King Jordan.
Absolutely.
What's next on the agenda? I'll be looking at your phone. What's next?
It's a Women's World Cup. That's it, fellas. Women's World Cup.
How are we going to... Rob's
checked out. Much like the highlights. Much like Palace games.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up on... I'm up to the third game of the season, so I was like, shit, I haven't yet got the fourth game in. So...
So as usual, Rob's checked out early, so he's left it to the rest of us. Mark, you're up.
Well, it was cool. As World Cup, did I? I don't give a shit.
Just thought we'd maybe talk about that for a bit. Having the big show in town for the ladies, which wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. Now, pretty good tournament. Obviously, soured at the end by the lurchy Spanish uncle that got a bit handsy at the fucking... ceremony at Stumps, which is unfortunate because I think that's all people are going to bang on about now. Not that it was a fantastic tournament and well run and arguably the best one to date. But football was, it was fairly incident free, the whole thing. I think the right team took it out early doors. I thought Japan or Spain. Spain won, obviously. And Matildas, came up. Against England and rounded out the two-leg series, which finished 3-3. England went through on away goals, so we had to settle for third place playoff that we couldn't manage because we'd played it was a bit of a mixed bag, obviously, with Sam Kerr injured early doors, so that just put a spanner in the works, and then I would have left her off and come off the bench. But anyway, we changed it all about. It didn't come off for us. She did manage to put a worldie past your nameless but potty mouthed goalkeeper. But couldn't get it done. And then, you guys fell over to Spain at Stumps there. Question though, would you still consider yourself the moral victors of the World Cup?
Okay, boring. So I had the privilege of being at the semi final and final. Which was great. I actually texted my mates in England and said, they asked me how it was, because I think a lot of hype around this World Cup, and a lot of people I think who would never usually look at football, at women's football, were looking at it. And my mates were asking me how it was all through the tournament. And I said, it's great. There's a lot of hype. I think it helps Australia are doing well, especially about Sam Kerr. Always feel that I'm maybe a little bit biased because I like women's football. I've watched it for years, and obviously like Ned coach it. So I think we have a different perspective of it, and some people who are trying to always compare it to men's. Anyway, I text them at the semi-final just saying, I tell you what, it's brilliant, and if Australia score, the roof will go off this place. And literally, I reckon 8 seconds later, Sam Kerr has that deflected shot go top corner. And the roof did go off the place. I mean, I don't think I've heard or been at a football stadium where that noise has just been so sudden. And like, there was an intake of breath. You heard everyone. And then the release was unreal. And I will banter with you lot till I'm blue in the face about England and Australia, but that was truly an amazing moment to be a part of. And it was great that it was, I think it was a good footnote for Australia to have, because good tournament, well hosted by Australia and New Zealand. And if they'd walked out of that game losing 2-0 or whatever, it would have been a bit rough. So having that goal was great. Final, yeah, interesting. You go from a semi-final against the hosts, where I've got to be honest, we got to Olympic Park and it was buzzing, and like there was the queues for food were unbelievable, and trying to get the bus back afterwards, it was crazy. Then you go to the final and it's not the hosts, and yeah, it was like, oh, okay, this is very different. That buzz wasn't there. But it was good. The final was good, and I have to agree, best team won. I don't want to get into the politics of what have gone on. I've actually learned a bit more about what's happened in Spain pre this, and geez, it's just a mess. But yeah, best team won. And I think what I will say is everyone's going on about it. Yeah, Australia have hosted the best Women's World Cup. They have, but they've hosted the best one because I think it's just grown incrementally year on, or tournament on tournament. And I have no doubt the next one will be bigger and better. And the one after that will be bigger and better. And I just hope it continues to grow, because it's a great advert for football. And if you don't want to see all of the histrionics that go on with the men's, it's not quite there as much in the women's. It's getting there, but it's not quite as much. So yeah, good tournament. Thank you, Australia and New Zealand.
Is that just when you thought Spanish football couldn't get any worse, Getafe come along and say, hold my beer?
Oh, mate, just... unbelievable. When there's a legitimate quote by the Saudis saying they would not take Marcus Rashford because it's not good for their reputation. Oh, sorry. It's not good for his reputation. Their reputation. That says a lot.
I mean, if you're gonna, you don't want to take like Marcus Rashford, who fed kids throughout COVID.
But they wouldn't want to do that.
Basically, with Rashford, they're two very different people.
Yeah. Sorry, they wouldn't take Greenwood because of... it'll be bad for their reputation. That says a lot.
I mean, the positive of the England women's team doing quite well is that anyone who bought a Greenwood England shirt can at least sort of repurpose it now.
Number changed
for the women's team. So at least there's a few people that might have saved some cash in that regard.
Yeah. And a nice, interesting tidbit is my wife was in the spa with them in the Crown Plaza in Terrigal. She said they were very nice. She didn't have a clue where they were at the start. But then she was like, oh, I think the England team win the spa with me. Like, yeah, that was be them. I was like, well, they were wearing the same top. Yes, that's the team.
I'm very glad you clarified that, because
you are there, very welcome. Like, I mean, knowing
that your wife was in the spa with Mason Greenwood. And that was a very different story.
That is as much as I watched the Women's World Cup, unfortunately. I didn't really have much of an interest with that.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Didn't watch the men's World Cup either.
I'll highlight Seltzer.
You barely watch the football this fucking podcast is about, mate.
Exactly. Why would I watch the Women's World Cup?
Nah. You do, you right.
So they didn't change. Next time, the tickets don't need to be quite so cheap. I mean, I think that just devalues the product a little bit when the tickets were so cheap. You know, trying to get a ticket. If someone told you a ticket to the men's World Cup final was $40, you would laugh at them. And for $40, you had a pretty decent seat at the stadium. I think that's a little bit devaluing their product.
You also want people there to create the atmosphere. If you say to someone it's 120, then people might not go.
No, yeah, I get that, but I think especially Matilda, you there are enough. There's enough patriotic people in this country from those smaller nations as well who would have gone, and enough people who are Australian who would have taken it as a potentially once in a lifetime opportunity to go to a mega event.
I would argue on that point though that I don't think I am ever going to argue that football tickets should be more expensive.
No, you know what I mean. I think you know what I mean, Ned.
I would love for the men's World Cup final tickets to be $40 and for them to be priced at an accessible price point that people that don't have thousands and thousands of dollars can actually go to the game. And it's a case of, well, if there are 700,000 people who want to get into a stadium of 80,000, well, it's a case of you have to actually, you know, get lucky in that particular ballot or whatever it is. It shouldn't just be a case of, well,
you've got the most money,
you can get it.
Yeah, but I think you know what I mean. I'm not
I know what you mean in terms
of dollars. I think,
but I think
if a ticket to the final,
we could price all of them.
If the a ticket to the final where I was sat was $100, I wouldn't have complained.
That's
what I'm getting at. I just felt that
issue is that money would have just found its way into FIFA's coffers, not
right. That's the stat.
So if they're gonna keep the money well and not pay people properly, well, I would rather not hand it over.
Yeah.
I suppose, and the just kind of the flip side of that doubt, like you wouldn't have complained, but then other people would have, and they wouldn't have gone. So it's like, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. You don't want to devalue a product because you back the product to be very good to get people to go.
And it was a very good product. It was a great product. So anyway.
All right, fellas. I think that'll do us. So a cracking start to the season. Well done. Yeah, we're on fire. International break now. So that means I get a week off watching highlights, which is good. I look forward to watching the highlights. I think we've got Villa next, which will be tough. So I won't bother watching that. I'll just see the score the next morning and read the WhatsApp group and see how we play. So Dale, Ned, Mark, thank you very much, guys. We look forward to doing this again at some point, sometime soon. Who knows? Brilliant.
Cheers, mate. Outroings.